no.
Come on, Paul.
No,
flash
I'm not here.
Two.
I'm not here right now.
Just flash the two right now, ladies and gentlemen. The peace sign.
Come on, Paul.
First off.
On a Cowbell Friday. Bang that thing if you got it.
Don't tell Paul a peace sign about flashing the two. I tell you right now. By the way, with the car auctions in town, you better be careful. If you're going to put that hand up in the air, you're going to buy yourself a vehicle. So you better be real careful about when throwing that arm up in the air when they're getting the auction going. You'll walk out of there with a $700,000 vehicle.
Paulie, how many times have you gone over to Barrett Jackson so far?
Three.
Oh, wow.
Frothing at the mouth, were you not, yeah. Paulie?
That was the Russo steal last night. We don't discriminate. Any car auction, we're out there.
You were getting creamy and crusty on the corners of the mouth.
Buddy of mine bought a 68 Chevelle last night. Nice! Well done, Randy. Randy, well done out there.
Paulie, do they have a 69 CUDA? That's what I'd like to know.
We'll get you into a car today. Just come on out. You want a piece
of my heart? Any of you ever, at those car shows, do they ever have any AMC Pacers?
There are Pacers
no
out
way.
There. Oh, yeah. You can get anything. Haven't seen a Pinto yet, but you can get into a Pacer. I have seen that. Yes.
Paul, let me ask you before we get rolling here, are you in?
Doug, somebody bought a Porsche tractor last night. There was a Porsche tractor on the block somebody bought. Proceed.
That's pretty impressive. Proceed.
Hey, retweet this. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Retweet this morning is Aaron McDonald, a listener to the show, tweeted, and Paul, he heard us talk about the fact that I think Cliff Kingsbury should have a party with the coaches and get to know them and call plays during the championship game.
I didn't know Aaron Donald listened to this show.
No, McDonald.
McDonald.
And Aaron McDonald said, hey, can we do this play calling party ourselves? I don't know the first thing about play calling, but it sounds fun. Well, since it sounds fun, I want to tell you that I decide we're in on this.
In on what?
In on what?
On having a play calling party to watch the championship game.
I see.
And Paul, we're all going to the compound.
Oh,
that's right.
Every Monday morning quarterback / Uncle Rico that's out there going over Wilson. We're going to boost it up on championship Sunday.
You know what, Paulie? Especially you and Doug Leash, go to the guest house, please.
Oh, we don't even get in.
Really?
You can go there, Paulie. Hang out.
What we're doing right now. Paul is being officially challenged to see if he can handle the pressure of what's actually going to happen.
What?
Five bold predictions for this weekend.
Five.
Doug and Wolf's bold predictions.
There we go.
Let's do this.
Fire, fire.
The five bold predictions that will happen over championship weekend. My prediction number one.
Number one.
Is the fact that earlier this morning, Lewis Riddick on ESPN made such a brilliant point.
Oh, no.
This point is going to be stolen so many times because no one's ever said this.
His shirt buttoned all the way down past his chest hair?
No, it was not.
All right.
Lewis Riddick was talking about the Rams and the positives of the Rams, but then he said there's one thing the Rams don't do.
They're not the Patriots. They're not like what that program has going, which is we're an absolute chameleon. We can change on you midstream and totally go in a totally different direction.
For him to call the Patriots a chameleon that can adjust, I thought that was a brilliant point by Lewis Riddick, and everyone's going to try to steal it.
Mm. Would you be quiet? I've been talking about them being a chameleon for over a decade.
That was Lewis Riddick this morning on ESPN Radio.
Oh, my goodness. He used the word chameleon.
To say that Sean McVay doesn't adapt or some of the other coaches don't adapt, though, come on now. That's going a little bit too far. Are you kidding me? Bold predictions. Here's number one. I say the Patriots will win their first road playoff game since 2006.
Wow.
Oh,
that is strong, Paul.
Of course, they haven't played very many road playoff games. And the last time they did, 2015, they lost at Denver.
Okay, Basinonians, I would say my first bold prediction for championship weekend has got to be, number one, there will not be a repeat of the 43-40 game we saw in October.
For Rams Saints?
Yes.
Chiefs Patriots.
For Chiefs Patriots.
Both of them were.
Yeah, we're not going to see a 43-40 game once again. That's gone bye-bye.
Because defenses will improve or because of the weather?
Yeah, because of both.
Okay.
Number two.
In honor of Paul Calvisi and somewhat 10% me, Tony Romo, during the AFC Championship game, twice we'll call Tracy Wolfson a gamer for being outside in the elements as a sideline reporter.
That's right. How's that taste, Jay Feely, on the sidelines this weekend? Oh, my goodness. We'll be laughing at Jay Feely. Number two, we will get the first team to reach a Super Bowl since losing a Super Bowl since the Buffalo Bills in the early 90s.
Holy moly.
Patriots will be that team.
Okay, Pauly, my number two bold prediction for championship weekend. The Patriots will hand the ball off 35 times in this game. They will hand the ball off 35 times. Minimum.
Number three.
I've just had a change. My third bold prediction is the second bold prediction of Paul Calvisi will be ripped off by me, I'm calling my shot, for an NFL overanalyzation of the day. Because that was a fantastic stat.
Okay. KC will not score at least 26 points. You're thinking, they scored 26 points in every game this season. And if you're wondering, all you haters out there, why the Cardinals made a head coaching switch and the national guys who don't understand and why the Cardinals brought in an offensive mind, how many games did the Cardinals score 26 points this year?
One.
At the Niners in the 28-18 win. That's why the Cardinals made a coaching change.
All right, my number three bold prediction for championship weekend. The PSI of the balls will be checked five times minimum.
That's good. No, that's good.
That's very, very impressive.
Number four.
My fourth bold prediction for championship weekend is that the next time we do five bold predictions, I will be as prepared as Wolf and Paul because they're on fire right now, and I didn't think they cared this much.
Here you go, Doug. The KC defense does one thing well, and that's rush the passer. They led the NFL in sacks. The Rams have the sack leader, Aaron Donald, and guess what? The two 40-year-old quarterbacks will not get touched despite all that.
You get nothing!
No sacks whatsoever because Brady and Breeze, the 40-year-olds, are going to beat those pass-rushing defenses with their brains and get rid of the ball before they ever get close.
That's pretty funny, Paul. Okay, my number four prediction for championship weekend. Bold prediction, Basinonians. Todd Gurley and C.J. Anderson will combine to rush for over 200 yards from scrimmage.
Wow.
And this against the Saints' excellent rush defense. Mm. How's that taste?
Number five.
And my last one, despite what Wolf just said, I think Drew Brees is going to go off. I think Drew Brees is going to have a legendary playoff performance, and the Saints will represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
We're thinking Belichick and Andy Reid will struggle in this one. If you see the stat, Belichick since 2001 in rematch games in the playoffs, he's 12-9 against teams he faced in the regular season. 16-1 Belichick in the playoffs against teams he did not face in the regular season.
Ooh.
Andy Reid is 6-10 in playoff games against teams he faced. 6-3 against teams he did not play in the regular season.
I think that means Paul just predicted an AFC championship game tie.
It's going to tie at 0-0.
Okay, my number five Basinonians, and I'm not talking about Paul's five head.
Okay, that's
my
it.
Number five I'm bold prediction there. For the championship weekend has got to be the Saints lose at home, ladies and gentlemen.
No, never happened.
Well, I just said Drew Brees is going off.
They're 6-0
at home. Your bold prediction is not bold
enough. In the playoffs all time with Brees and Peyton. They never lost at home in the playoffs.
Saying that, Paul, because with every number you continue to throw out there, it gets one number closer to losing.
We said it as soon as the Saints clinched home field. It was over, and the NFC had been decided.
Kids, we've looked long and hard. It took us forever. There used to be a time in your life where Notre Dame and the Chiefs were good. We have just found one of the only person alive that won a national championship with Notre Dame and played in an AFC championship game with the Chiefs. He's next to give you the AFC championship game rundown on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
It is what it is, Basinonians.
So here's the scoop. Tim Grunhard played center for the Kansas City Chiefs for 11 years. And Dermoni Dawson, best center in the AFC for a long time. I think Grunny was the second best center in all of the AFC for a really good stretch of time. Some amazing Mike Webster stories if you're ever interested, because Mike Webster ended his career with the Chiefs. And his name's Tim Grunhard. Everybody calls him Grunny except one person.
Yeah.
One person, actually two people, his former agent.
I don't know him as Tim Grunhard.
And of all people, ASU head coach Herm Edwards calls him Groony.
No.
Yes, yes. Herm Groony. Edwards calls him Groony.
Oh.
I don't even, I've never understood why. But Groony is just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. Anybody else other than your agent and Herm Edwards call you Groony?
I think Lou Holtz. So I guess that's a pretty good combination. Hey, guys.
Groony.
Thanks for having me on. We are so excited here in Kansas City. I wanted to share the excitement out there in the beautiful state of Arizona and the wonderful town that you guys call Phoenix, and just really excited to talk to you guys about Kansas City Chief football.
Well, I told everyone that's listening how exciting this has got to be for you, because there's people that are now old enough to drink beer, old enough to vote in elections, and they have no idea that Notre Dame was ever good and the Chiefs were ever good. And the fact that you're the only person alive to win a national championship and play for the Chiefs in an AFC championship game, because it's been that long that the Chiefs were in an AFC championship game. This has got to be a red letter day for you, Groony.
It really is. And, you know, everybody's here is very, very excited. And, you know, hey, listen, Doug, you were here for many years and did radio here. So you understand the pain and the disappointment and the angst that the Kansas City Chief fan and Kansas City Chief player and organization has gone through. So, yeah, it's a great day for us. And, you know, it's going to be a good game. Listen, anytime you have Tom Brady on the other side,
right,
probably the greatest quarterback to play the game. It's going to be very, very competitive. You know, we're hoping the Chiefs can, with Patrick Mahomes and the magic that he's brought, bring us a victory. But, you know, I told people here in Kansas City, be careful what you wish for, because everybody wanted to play the Patriots. Everybody wanted to play Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But this guy, he understands how to win. Mm-hmm.
Groony, obviously the weather's going to be an issue, which is just a great thing. Let us all rejoice that we're going to play this game in natural conditions. I absolutely love that. But who do you think it favors, if anybody?
Wolf, I knew you would love the cold weather, and I knew you'd like the grass and the stains on your pants.
Did you not like it, Groony? Did you not like it?
Oh, I love it.
You loved it, right?
He's from the south side of Chicago. He's a hardcore weather guy.
Are you talking about that AstroTurf? What's that AstroTurf? The cow can't eat it. I don't want to play on it.
Got that right.
Who does it favor? You know, there's some groundhogs here in Kansas City, the weathermen. They've been all over the map on this game. You know, they started out, there's going to be 5 degrees of kickoff. And then, you know, now it's going up to maybe being 20 degrees of kickoff. So who the hell knows what it's going to be. But like you said, the warmer it is, the better it is for the Kansas City Chiefs, just because of the athletes. I think the Kansas City Chiefs can out-athlete the Patriots. They got better speed and receivers and the defense is a little bit speedier. But you know, when it gets colder, you know, those fast guys seem to slow down a little bit. So we can use that extra step in speed with the weather.
Hey, I'm interrupting you.
Groony.
Groony texted me right before the interview and said, my phone just died. Give me the number and I'll call in. Groony, we're calling you back because whosever cell phone you just grabbed, that sounds like crap.
That's bad.
It sounds like crap.
It's real bad.
But I think that is something where, you know, you've heard Bill Belichick say the weather does not affect anything. We don't really care about it.
Love to plan a championship game. Schedule whatever you want.
But I love that.
Right, it does
there.
Seem to make obvious sense that it's going to be totally something that the Chiefs I would appear will struggle with. I would believe, even though they're used to it, since their game is more of an air game. Now, there are some receivers or offensive coordinators that have always thought bad weather actually helps the passing game because it's harder to cover guys. But I just think, doesn't it slow down Tyreek Hill? I mean, that to me seems to make sense, that it slows down Tyreek Hill, and not that he's going to be non-existent,
yeah.
But I have to believe the Patriots would fare better just from the weather, not the whole game, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
if there's a team to choose, it would be the Patriots
absolutely,
that would benefit.
But once again, this is the reason why I think Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are really special, because offensively and defensively, they'll be whatever they need to be to beat you. Mm-hmm. I've been talking about this for over a decade. I have. If they need to run the ball, that's what they're going to do. And I guarantee you right now, that's what I think they're going to try to do, is possess the ball, line up, and force the Kansas City Chiefs to tackle. Force them to tackle. I don't think they're a good tackling team. I agree with Grunny. I think Kansas City's got better skill. But I think what's going to happen defensively, I don't think they're going to play a ton of man cover. I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to play a lot more zone because of the footing. It's so much easier as a wide receiver when you know where you're going. When you know where you're going and the defender does not, it's so difficult. When your body just reacts and you're just trying to react, now your footing can sometimes be an issue. And in cold weather, that can affect the team greatly.
Well, I've watched every Chiefs game this year, but I admit there's one thing I don't know, and that is Tyreek Hill against a zone. But I can tell you how good Travis Kelce is against the zone and how good Sammy Watkins is against the zone. So those are two really good weapons that do a wonderful job of finding the little soft spot, and then Mahomes' accuracy is strong enough that they don't need much. You know, they don't just give me a little room, just shield the defender a little bit, and I can fit it into the window in the zone. And those two are really good in figuring out where that window is. But I admit I have no idea how good Tyreek Hill is at that. I realize what Paul said a little bit ago, that they're going to win their first, Patriots are going to win their first road playoff game, and maybe only their second in this century. I think it's Chiefs. I really think it's Chiefs. And I don't think I've ever picked against Belichick and Brady in a playoff.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be the Patriots. This is just a guess, right? But I think, especially in the defensive end, playing zone and playing a lot more zone, because I think they're gonna want to control their eyes. And I think Bill Belichick probably has been working with the entire defense on this, controlling their eyes because of what? Because of all the wrapping, the shiny paper that the Kansas City Chiefs actually employ with Tyreek Hill and all the motions. And a look over here, everybody, and what they're doing is they're running these very base plays that have been around traditionally for a long, long time, but they look so different because of the personnel groups that they're using and because of the formations that they're using and because of the motions that they're incorporating and because of whom is in that motion, Tyreek Hill, right? It's just, to me, I think this plays into Bill Belichick's brilliance.
If you're a Cardinals fan, though, I got to tell you, have a little hope. I was in that city when the Royals were getting swept by the Expos and when the Chiefs had one unbelievable season, but for the most part then fell off so fast. And to think that this city could have a World Series championship and go to a Super Bowl in about a 4-year period. Come on now.
Yeah.
Because where are we at right now?
Yeah.
We're the lowest of low of all sports cities in America. And
great fan base in KC. No
I don't
doubt.
I don't think we should be dreaming to think, hey, we could be Kansas City someday. It's
great
kind of embarrassing.
Too.
UFC. Oh, yeah. Jack Stack. Gates. UFC Fight Night is coming to Talking Stick Resort Arena Sunday, February 17th, and we're giving you the chance to win tickets. Just head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com for complete details and to enter. Let's get our own Doug and Wolf NFL insider in on this. The Cardinals don't have an offensive coordinator. Who is John Clayton hearing that's out there? He's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Doug and Wolf.
Giving you inside information on the NFL every week.
Dude, what's happening?
NFL insider John Clayton.
Mom, what is there?
Joins Doug and Wolf now. Brought to you by Courtesy Chevrolet. Serving the Valley for over 60 years. Number one for a reason. Visit CourtesyChev.com.
John Clayton, been covering the NFL since the early 70s, and he is the official Doug and Wolf NFL insider. You can get more from him at claytonfootball.com. John, good morning. Has there ever been a Super Bowl matchup with a better history than Brady Breeze, and will it happen? First of all, hi.
Hello.
Second of all, are you geek for Brady Breeze, or are you ready for the new young guns?
I'm ready for one young gun to get in there, because I think the home teams are going to win, because it's still tough. I think the Rams do have a chance down in New Orleans. I think it's going to be tough for Tom Brady, because if you really look at the record, and of course, you know what the history has been. In the last 5 years, the home teams have won the championship game. So you have 10 games, 5 home teams in each conference have been able to win, and you can see the advantage is going to be there for the home teams in this game. if you look at Tom Brady, he's been in 38 playoff games, and he's won an incredible 28 of those 38, but 25 of them have been at home. And so what you can see is that he's 3-4 in the road games in the playoffs. He's not won a playoff road game since 2006, and now he goes into and takes on Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback that, believe it or not, in his first year as a starter, has never had a game where he scored less than 26 points.
So that's incredible. There's no doubt about it, Johnny. So whose offense do you think is benefited by the fact that it might be really, really cold and might get some precip?
Well, I guess the one thing that kind of chilled up a little bit was the fact that the Arctic blast has been called off, and now they're talking going to be in the 20s. And you would have to think that it's going to probably hurt Kansas City's offense a little bit more if it was going to be, 5-6 degrees. Mm-hmm. I thought that was going to be the case last week, but with the snow and all that, and it turned out it wasn't. I mean, they were able to go quite, because again, you think it takes away a little bit of the speed, but I think what you can see as far as Tom Brady, he goes there, and of course, I mean, he's got like about a 14-4 record in sub 32 degree weather. Mm-hmm. So he's very good at that. And this is going to be only the second game. This is going to be the coldest game I think that Patrick Mahomes has. But I think if it's going to be in the 20s, it's pretty well neutralized as far as where that's going to go. So it's just going to be the better team winning.
In all the years that you have been covering the NFL, have you ever seen a story that you can even remotely say is similar to the Cardinals of 1 year head coach gassed, go to the Big 12 or college football and reach for a fired head coach, and then have the general manager be the leader in putting the staff together? Is this as crazy as I just set it up, or do you think, well, it's just new age football? This is going to be what other teams do now.
Well, let's put it this way. It's a new one for me. I can't really find anything that's similar to this in NFL history. But I think what you can see is that this is the problem that teams are getting themselves into with so many firings. And because they're all looking for the same thing. They're all looking for the offensive play callers. And when you have a league right now where you have 15 head coaches that are calling the plays, and you have now what's going to be 6 of the 8 are going to be offensive play callers, where are you going to get them? You either have to take a chance on somebody from Andy Reid's staff or from Sean McVay's staff that hasn't been a play caller before, or then you have to start reaching into the college ranks. And the problem with the college ranks is that the job security down in college is much more than it is in the NFL, and the pay's good. I mean, you can now get $5-6 million as a head coach, and so why take the chance in coming into the NFL? The other problem is if you're going to be trying to get a college coach that is, at least a current head coach that didn't lose his job, the problem that faces is they don't want to interview. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to either give them the job and then them pull out of college before the end of the year, because remember, they have the signing period. So this is as tough of a time because of now what owners want. And that's why when you have 8 changes like this, weird things are going
to
happen.
We're talking to the legendary John Clayton here on the Doug and Wolf Show. Johnny, can you tell us anything about the next offensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals? Is he coaching possibly this weekend?
Good question, because I mean, I think it's a matter of, who is fitting for the job right now, because it looked like it was going to be Steve Sarkisian, and then he kind of did a turnaround and ended up going over to to Alabama. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's still enough candidates out there that are scrambling around, but hard to tell right now, because I think it's a matter of, okay, who fits up. But again, it's like the one thing that you can see is, because I know it's funny, I was doing network yesterday, and everybody was criticizing what was going on in Green Bay, and they're saying, how can they go ahead and hire Nathaniel Hackman and all that stuff?
Yes.
And it's like, well, it doesn't matter, because Matt LaFleur is going to be calling the plays, and whoever's going to be the offensive coordinator, I assume, is going to be Cliff Kingsbury calling the plays, because that's what the mandate was. Mm-hmm. So the offensive coordinator is more of a title than it is a position of authority.
Yeah, Johnny, can you tell us anything about Tom Clements?
Well, I know him very well because he's from Pittsburgh. I mean, he's a very bright coach. I mean, he got one little stint where he was allowed in Green Bay to be able to call some plays for Mike McCarthy. And, of course, then Mike started to think, I kind of miss calling the plays. And so it comes. But he's a very good coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's very quarterback-oriented in the standpoint that he was a good quarterback all coming through Pittsburgh and all that and in college. And, I think he'd be a great hire, because I think the one thing that he's very good at doing is working with the young quarterbacks.
Give me any stories you know about him and Brett Favre or him and Aaron Rodgers or more stories about him being in Pittsburgh? Because, of course, everybody's wondering about Josh Rosen. So what do you think Tom Clements can do for him?
Well, I guess the big thing is that he's very consistent. I mean, he's very patient. He's very quiet. I mean, you don't have too many stories because, you know, he's behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and there's never been a problem with anything that he's
Which
done.
Which might be perfect for a Cliff Kingsbury then, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Do you think he'd be a good mentor?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, he's Rosen and Cliff.
Yeah, because the one thing, and that's what you kind of hope is that and you can see one of the models. That's what Sean McVay did. I mean, you want to have somebody who has some head coaching experience mm-hmm. that's there, and you can see in some of the hires that are being done right now. That's certainly one of the priorities because, like for example, when Sean McVay went to Los Angeles with the Rams, the first thing that he did, he has a staff meeting, and of course he hired a great staff. Is that he had Wade Phillips there as a former head coach, and the big thing that he says, now listen, it's like, I'm just going to concentrate on the offense. I want everything to kind of fall in order. I mean, you coach the positions and you coach your side of the ball and all that, and you're going to have the authority to do that, and I'm just going to concentrate on getting the offense done. You know, all the other stuff is right now secondary to me because, again, he's still learning on the job, and that's what Cliff's going to have to do is, you know, coming into the NFL with no NFL experience in the league, he's going to need somebody to kind of help him out, and that's why a former head coach would be a good hire, whether it's on offense or on defense.
John, tell me about then Jim Bob Cooter and what happened in Detroit, because before he took over, Matthew Stafford was pretty wild, really good numbers for a while after that. Matt Patricia takes over and Jim Bob Cooter suddenly looks like he doesn't know what he's doing and the offense falls apart. What really does Jim Bob Cooter bring to the table?
Well, what he brings is a good passing mind. I think that, the one thing that kind of slipped and kind of cost him his job there is, you know, kind of getting away from the run. I mean, he did that last year and the year before that. And, you know, that's the one thing. If you're Matt Patricia and you're a defensive coach, you want to run the football. And maybe sometimes that might be a little bit overdone. But, I mean, Jim Bob Cooter was, of course, he's got one of the best names in sports. But,
of course, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that you can see when he went into the three-receiver offense, I mean, he was able to consistently get Matthew Stafford's passing numbers up, his completion numbers up, and all that. And so he's very good at the play-calling part of it. But again, I think the concentration has to be, you know, and what he'll probably do in the next job is run the ball more. I mean, that's going to be the mandate. You know, Daryl Bevel took the job to replace him. And, they didn't get Daryl Bevel, the guy that has the West Coast offense of the last 2 years in Seattle. They got the guy that, called over 500 running plays when Marshawn Lynch was running the football.
So since you have everybody's cell phone, in your cell phone contacts, does it say just Jim Bob? Does it say Cooter and that's it? Or do you go the whole Jim Bob Cooter?
No, you have to go Jim Bob Cooter.
Okay.
Because, again, it's like it's just too good of a name.
I didn't know.
He's like, because
nobody else is going to pop up on your phone with the name Jim Bob. You'll know who it is.
Nobody's else going to pop up with Cooter either.
That's good.
What if he called himself? That's why you have to put all three together.
Yeah. What if he called himself James Robert?
That's boring.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Nobody would know who he would be.
Yeah, exactly.
He wouldn't have the best name in sports.
That's right.
That'd be sad. Good to talk to you. Thanks for everything, John.
Okay, thanks.
Say hello to Pat, Johnny.
There's John Clayton joining us each and every Friday at 7:30. Our own Doug and Wolf NFL insider, and he's just like Wolf, kind of backing up everything that you've been pushing. Tom Clements as the guy. Coming up next, Headband Booker was back, and DeAndre Ayton had a double double. But the biggest takeaway was someone needs to stick up for him. That's next on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
John Clayton.
Yeah, I just finished my segment.
Lot of football talk today. John Clayton, our own Doug and Wolf NFL insider, just joined us. 8:45, a perspective from Kansas City, from Tim Grunhard, longtime Chiefs center. What's it going to take for us to get back to a championship game? Mike Florio, basically the man who invented pro football talk and does the work, going to join us at 9 o'clock to talk about assistant coaching rumors, what's the Cardinals looking at, what he's looking at for championship game weekend, and who's available.
Florio.
And then the ESPN senior writer and former NFC West writer, Mike Sando, will join us about available coaches.
Michael.
And Mike Sando might have some inside scoops on who is still coaching this weekend that the Cardinals might want to look at.
Yes.
So we got a lot of NFL coaching news as it relates to the Arizona Cardinals coming up here in a minute. But something happened last night that you really need to know about as you're going into work, or if you're already at work listening to us on the Arizona Sports app that you can get on your Android or your iPhone. And that is last night and the Phoenix Suns, a two-point loss. It's tied. Suns, again, kind of a slow start, came out bad, but battled back, didn't give in. It's 109-109. Raptors have the ball.
Lowry has it. Lowry to Siakam. Siakam with 6 seconds. Siakam with five. Siakam with four. Three, two. Siakam on the drive. His shot is good. And the game is over if that counts, if he got it off in time.
What a killer.
But yeah, it hurt.
What a killer that was right there to see that, right? DeAndre Ayton getting over a little bit late and not getting up there and blocking that shot. To me, it's so indicative of what we have seen for the most part. But I don't want to overreact to one stinking play, period. Because to me, DeAndre Ayton played an excellent game.
That's the huge key to this, is Siakam beat Bridges by going to his offhand with a last-second layup over Ayton. Some people actually think Siakam should be Rookie of the Year over Doncic.
He's played really well.
I'm not one of those people, but I don't think you're an idiot for just saying, hey, can we at least talk about him? He's had such a good season so far. And you're so right about DeAndre Ayton. Ayton messed that up. You've got to get there. But that was not an energy mistake. That was not an effort mistake.
No.
That is a young guy who's not a great defender, who is improving, screwed up because of inexperience. Because he got over.
Yeah.
He recognized, oh, I need to get over. But recognized it late, didn't realize, wait, clock situation. He's driving with 5 seconds. That means by the time he gets to this block, there's no way he can dish to my man. He's a bigger threat. He already beat Bridges. I got to go.
And it looked like he was really, really careful. He didn't want to foul in that situation, right? And I understand that. But DeAndre Ayton overall, we've got this thing in the Wolfley compound, the Wu-Fang Clan, called the Intensity Index. And what it is, you take offensive rebounds, you take steals and blocks, you add it together. You can do it for an individual, you could do it for a team. The Intensity Index. And to me, DeAndre Ayton had one of his best games ever. 7 offensive boards, 2 steals, 2 blocks, plus 11 in the Intensity Index. I really love the way DeAndre Ayton played last night. He's got to just continue to even this stuff out.
Not mad about the loss at all, because think about it. How often are you going to lose by 2 on the road to a major power in which TJ Warren shoots 5 of 16, Kelly Oubre shoots 3 of 15? That means those two shot 26% from the field.
Well,
it's not going to happen that
often.
Kawhi
Leonard did not play.
That's true. No doubt.
And by the way, while we're at it right now, load management? Load management. Really?
That's what they're reason.
Are you kidding?
So
you
far,
have to call it something else than load management.
So far, he's not played in both games of a back-to-back, and the Raptors give it load management to make sure he comes off of his injury.
If you're going to sit me down in a game, Basin Onions, and you're going to force me onto the bench, I'm not going to let you do it under the auspices of load management.
Basically, what they're saying is, we want to suck up to you now so you'll re-sign with us.
You got to call it something else. You know, Millennial Management Day.
So after the game, the topic of conversation on Fox Sports Arizona, and great job talking about it with Igor Kokoschkov, is the situation that I do find alarming. And that is the Phoenix Suns, and this is life. This is the way the NBA does things. They don't get a call. And because they're young guys, there was a play yesterday that really emphasizes this. TJ Warren went to the hoop, went hard, and a G League player jumped in the air, went straight up, totally straight up. And I was talking to, I want to give Vince some credit on this, went straight up, and then Warren turned his back and threw up a flip shot. Now, I got to tell you, I think I'm going to disagree with Vince. I don't think it was a foul.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a foul.
Okay.
But in the way that the NBA officiates, with the season TJ Warren is having, going one-on-one with a G League player, why isn't that a foul? And I'm admitting to all of you, it was actually a good call that it wasn't a foul. But we've seen too many games this year where you're the Suns, we're going to disrespect you because you're young. We're not giving you the call. And then we'll call fouls on you when you don't deserve it. Well, which way is it, NBA?
I think T.J. Warren could have been more physical to the rack.
I think that's true.
And more assertive and aggressive to the rack and would have gotten the call.
So it starts to build tension between the young Suns players and the referees. Then there is a clear blown call where Kelly Oubre just gets absolutely destroyed under the rim. And when he does, it's just ruled a turnover at the 7:55 mark of the fourth quarter. Now everybody on the court is fired up. And then Josh Jackson already has one technical for yelling at the refs. Then you've got a Chris Boucher dunk in which Josh Jackson commits a flagrant foul. But before they rule it a flagrant, he mouths off, gets technical number two, and he's ejected.
Gone.
Josh Jackson, listen, you can't do it. Can't do it. But Igor Kokoschkov, I don't know how many times I have to say this. Not that you're going to care that I say it, but when is someone going to get with him and say, your players don't believe you right now? You can lie to yourself and say they do. They do not think you have their back. And you can say, oh, I know they do. I know they do. Actions speak louder than words. Why are the players adding more and more technicals every week? The NBA officiating is not going to change till you do something about it. And Igor was on Fox Sports Arizona and said,
we don't talk about a whistle. That play was on that side, and we're coming back. You know, the shorthanded transition defense, breaking play, thinking about it. Next play, and then flagrant one, talking to the referees. That was basically 7-point swim, so it's a big play, whatever started that play. So, but we don't talk about how it started.
See, if you're not going to talk about it, the players aren't going to trust your reaction to it at all. You've got to come to his defense.
You know, we don't control that part. We control our, we got to maintain our composure, and we have to stay calm. I was telling the guys, I don't talk much to the referees, but let me handle that, and your job is to play basketball.
But see, you're not handling it. When you say, let me handle it, you're not handling it. That's what the players are thinking. So they handle it. And I'm not excusing Josh Jackson. I'm not excusing T.J. Warren's technicals from
Can't
the last
do
game.
It, Douglas.
They have to control their emotion. It's wrong, and he's right. It was a 7-point swing, Josh Jackson and Kelly Oubre, and you guys were pouting about it. But you know what? This is now a trend that the NBA is crapping on the Suns. And don't feel bad for them because they do it to every low-level team. They've been doing it for 45 years.
Especially when you got young guys on the floor.
Yes, it's not going to change. It will not change. But I tell you what, you will have this continue until Igor Kokoschkov stands up, shows emotion, gets a technical foul, and gets in the referee's face, because then the players feel like, now you're defending me, so I will go do my job.
Woo! Go Ric Flair, Igor. Full-on Ric Flair.
I didn't expect
Just
that.
Just do it. That's what we need. We need him to do it.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, woo, right here.
Start doing a little rooster step as you're over on the side. Woo. Just honestly, lose your mind. We'll all feel better.
On a side note, if you saw the U of A game last night, Bill Walton started talking about punching refs, and you should have heard the reaction of Dave Pasch. It was very entertaining.
Really?
It was a very weird moment in the broadcast.
Interesting.
Yeah. Coming up next, we give you the latest with the Cardinals' search for assistant coaches, and Adam Gase tries to explain the unexplainable. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You're going to be mine!
Woo!